Hey, you want to go to war? You want a war? You're going to get one.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the PNR Podcast. It is your host, Michael B. Proud, and I have two heavyweights with me. The first one, we didn't think he'd come on, and then we thought, okay, he'll come on, but he'll just do some heavy breathing and maybe some laughter. Say hi to the people, Helm.
How you doing, people?
And I brought back my other buddy, the smart Mark. Say hi to the people, Polly.
What's up? What's up? What's going on, players?
And I used heavyweights because episode 69, we are 69 deep now, is Matches Made in Heaven Pro Wrestling. So we're going to talk about like the best matches that there ever were in pro wrestling. So did you guys come up with any number 69s that stand out?
I sure did.
Who do you got?
I got the great David Bakhtiari, Green Bay Packers, and my favorite pitcher slash singer, Bronson Arroyo.
I thought he was 61.
When he played for the Pirates, he was 69. I found that out today.
Okay, nice. Paul, you got anybody?
I got the future Cole Strange, 69.
Yes, yes. I came up with the same. I came up with Cole Strange, but of course I can't forget our good pal, Shaq Mason.
He was 69?
Yeah. So I had Shaq Mason, Cole Strange, and I like to use the future because, yeah, he's the future of that line. Till Bill Belichick changes his mind and drafts somebody in the first round next year. Because I remember Brian Stork was the future, and that fizzled out pretty quick.
Yeah, he didn't have much movement.
Of course, I came up with two other things that 69. Bill and Ted's favorite number. 69, dudes. Everybody remembers that, the Circle K. And, of course, 69 is just a hell of a good time. I can speak from experience, of course. So, shout out to that position. you can find me on social media, Facebook, Porel, PCAST, P-O-L-R-E-L, last name P-C-A-S-T. Twitter, @ the PNR Podcast. On Instagram, PNR PCAST. And on Patreon, the space P space ampersand space R space podcast. All right, Helm, we're going to lead off with you because the new guests, or in this case, it's just alphabetically that way too. Y'all lead off, so begin with number four.
All right, my number four, we're going back to WrestleMania 10.
Ooh, okay.
We got Razor Ramon versus Shawn Michaels in the ladder match.
Yes, yes. That was the first ladder match, right?
Apparently, it was their second, but the first one wasn't televised.
Oh, okay.
Bret Hart introduced it and did it at a house show or something like that. But this was the first one on TV. And this is where my boy Shawn Michaels' career took off after this one. Apparently, right. There were two intercontinental titles at the time.
Yes.
Because Shawn Michaels had a fake one because he claimed he was still the champ, even though he got suspended or something like that. And, you know, it's just the first of its kind. So basically a hardcore match with a ladder.
Do you have any highlights for the match?
Yep. Shawn Michaels' big splash off the top of the ladder. That was one of them. Big Daddy Cool Diesel getting kicked out of ringside for reasons unknown. And then all the girls got to see Shawn Michaels' bare ass.
That was the highlight for all the straight females at WrestleMania.
That was the biggest pop of the match right there.
Now, I kind of vaguely remember that, but yeah, I do. That's what I remember most about is what you actually first mentioned, that there were two intercontinental champions, and then they had that match to settle it, and Razor was the winner, right? If I remember correctly.
Razor did win, and for whatever reason, when he grabbed the titles, he just fell straight on his back right off the ladder. So that was probably an accident because he looked like he died for a few seconds.
Oh, jeez. Now that was an MSG, right?
Hold on, I wrote it down. Yes, it was. Madison Square Garden. 18,065.
Very nice.
I think we know that.
Yeah, you got to know.
Yeah, crowds are important, man. It's nice to... I wrote down the...
How does that have to do with the matches?
Because it's just nice to see what kind of...
The best matches of all time was at a halftime show at the Super Bowl. In front of zero people. Mankind versus the Rock.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Crowd size mean nothing, brother.
I think that's the first time that the Rock sang Elvis for the SmackDown Hotel. I think. I'm not positive, but I think that's when he introduced that.
That sounds about right.
Who do you got for your number three? Or are you done?
Yeah, I've said enough about that match. I go quick.
Okay.
All right, number three. I got Bret Hart versus Stone Cold in a submission match.
And WrestleMania 13. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. WrestleMania 13. Yes.
With a special guest referee Ken Shamrock, the man who fought a scarecrow and lived to tell the tale.
That movie was awful.
Nah, it was a good movie.
The kid says, like, how do you kill it? You can't. It's eternal. Whatever that means.
All right.
That's not Ken Shamrock writing those lines, though, so I can't sandbag him too hard.
This match was at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, Paul. And yes, that's important. All right, so basically it's a submission match, but there's probably like three submissions the whole entire match. It was pretty much just a freaking no holds barred the whole time.
Yeah, I remember it being a brawl more than anything else, really.
Yeah, they pretty much just fought in the crowd and then outside the ring, you know, Stone Cold busted open the whole time, bleeding everywhere.
That was kind of
altered their careers.
Yeah, as well as to say, do you think that's like you said that was when Shawn Michaels kind of had like his star moment? Is that Stone Cold star moment? Like,
yeah, that's when he became big. He started when he did that whole 316 speech, but I think this match is what put him over, and it also made Bret Hart the big heel.
That's a good point though. The 316 speech at King of the Ring. That's actually a bigger moment in his career. Like I think that's when he. He shed that whole ringmaster bullshit, million-dollar champion. All that was left behind at that point. And yeah, everybody remembers that 316 and the whooped your ass speech. Like, but I don't know that this match is very important, and it gave so much.
He's a tough SOB. He wouldn't give up.
That's what I was gonna say. He saved face because he didn't give up after the hole. He just passed out from all the. The pain and the blood streaming down his face.
Yep. My boy Bret pulled out the dirty moves, the chair on the tried to go for that one. He went for the fig on the ring post. Yeah, he did. It's the dirty guy. I don't know what they were teaching him in the dungeon, but it ain't right.
He was always, you know, Bret Hart was like always a face pretty much, except for like that last year with WWF. But I feel
Bret
like he
screwed Bret.
Well, yeah, Bret did screw Bret.
Yeah, but and then Gold screwed him too.
Bret Hart always did heel shit like that, though. Like he would always like, I'm gonna fake an injury or whatever, and then he'd like roll up the guy for a pin, and he was always doing kind of heelish stuff as it was.
Yeah, this is where he really turned heel, though.
Well, yeah, you're right.
I'm assuming this is after that is when you started feuding with Shawn Michaels, Canada versus USA sort of deal as well.
Yeah, I think that the whole Team Canada thing started. Yes, exactly. Right after this. And then, yeah, he did that for about a year and then the Montreal Screwjob and then his other relatives joined him except for the lone survivor, Owen. So.
Yeah. And this is, like I said, Stone Cold was the rest is history with him. Everyone knows what came of him after this match.
Now,
his career.
I got to ask you guys something. If Shawn Michaels doesn't get hurt, you know who's wearing that belt after? Nobody has a thought on that?
Goldust.
No, Gold. No. Because there's either. Well, yeah, if Razor Ramon stayed, that was the rumor. If the Outsiders stayed, they were going to just be swapping belts back and forth. But, yeah, does Sean keep it or does Austin keep it? I still think it's probably going to go to Austin.
Yeah, he had too much popularity at that time.
Yeah, he was probably more popular than Shawn Michaels at that time. And, like, a lot of people love DX, but I still think that they would have put the belt on Stone Cold. So,
yeah, he was too big.
Oh, yeah. He was getting huge at that time. So, yeah, I think it would have stayed with Stone Cold. But it's kind of fun to wonder. That's all.
Yeah, how injuries alter storylines and people's...
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's all I got to say about that one. But on to my next one.
Number two now. What do we got?
This one will sound familiar to you. TLC, WrestleMania 17.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That sounds real familiar to me.
Yeah. So TLC, obviously, tables, ladders, and chairs. You got Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys versus the Dudley Boys. And pretty much this match was just chaos all the way around. It had, obviously, people flying through chairs. You got Edge spearing Jeff Hardy off the ladder. What else happened in this match? I don't know. Swanton bomb off the 20-foot ladder, which was really a 12-foot ladder, but sounds like 20-foot.
No, it wasn't a 20-foot ladder. It looked pretty damn tall to me.
1 foot per rung. That's only 12 feet.
You counted the rungs
on it? Oh, yeah. I had to.
Nice.
It wasn't OSHA certified, so I had to make sure, you know?
It definitely wasn't. It held up well, though.
So, yeah, between tables, ladders, chairs, then you have Spike Dudley coming in, messing some people up.
Yes, and a lot of interference. Rhino.
Lita. Lita. Off her top. And then she's just destroyed by the Dudley Boys.
I don't think she didn't go through a table, though, did she?
No, they just gave her a regular 3D. Not through a table, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, she got a 3D, but I think all the other people who interfered, they went through tables.
Yes. Spike Dudley put someone through a table, and then he got put through a table. Rhino, I'm trying to think what happened to Rhino. I'm not really sure. I know he pushed a couple of them off the tall ladder in the ring, and they fell through four tables on the outside. Of the
That whole match is badass. It was like nonstop good.
Yeah, it's pretty much just action, people getting destroyed. I'm pretty sure Christian fell off the ladder in the ring right onto the floor outside, and he was down for a while.
Yeah, I think a lot of those bumps in that match were like legit.
Yeah, definitely. Trying to see if I wrote anything else down, but there's just too much stuff going on. And Edge and Christian won that match, by the way.
Yes, yes. I thought that the Dudley's were going to retain the titles because they were the title holders going into that. And then when they didn't leave with it, that was a surprise to me.
Edge and Christian, they were the future right there. It was their time.
What about the Hardy Boys? They were the future more than anybody. I think they were like 18 years old and fighting in that match.
They were getting there, though. I don't think you can recover after the Swanton Bomb up the 30-foot ladder.
Well, they should have just had him do it off a crane.
He wasn't getting up and pinning anybody after that.
No.
That was probably the best night.
That was the craziest spot, I feel like. Well, I don't know. We'll see when I get there.
A spear off the ladder.
Spear off the ladder was pretty good.
Yeah, there was that too, though, yeah. It's hard to pick a crazy spot, I guess, in that one.
All those guys had, like, multiple championship tag team championship runs.
Oh yeah, yeah. It feels that way at least.
Hall of Fame tag teams.
I don't know how successful the Dudley Boys were in WWE or F at the time, as I think it was, but I feel like they had a couple championships there, and of course, you know, ECW and TNA, they were winning championships there. But yeah, those other two teams though, Christian and Edge and the Hardy Boys certainly holding gold.
Yeah, they're three of the best tag teams of all time.
Who do you think the best tag team of all time is?
The Rockers.
Our Foundation.
I want to go with the Dudley Boys, but there's something in the back of my mind that keeps on saying the Outsiders. So I don't know how to feel about that.
Because you love Razor Ramon.
Yeah, I do.
It's true. So
that's why.
And I love Diesel.
You ruined WCW.
They didn't ruin WCW.
Yeah, they did.
No, they didn't. Goldberg did.
Fucking self-promoting. That's what they did.
Goldberg ruined WCW.
Well, also Kevin Nash storyline of trying to. He's the one that stopped the streak and everything else.
Well, no, Russo also ruined WCW. The streak had to come to an end.
He did everything.
That was Bischoff who did the Mysterio thing. It's hard to pick just one person who ruined WCW. They all fucking dumped gas on it and lit it on fire like it was JR. Like, I mean, you can't just pick one guy.
True. They all did it. They all screwed.
I can't believe no one's going to mention Brett screwed Brett again.
They don't need to be reminded about Brett screwing himself.
Goldberg screwed Brett.
Yeah, he did. There you go. Another thing that Goldberg fucked up.
Yep. Kicked him in the face, and that was it.
Yep.
He's still collecting money and Goldberg's still getting all that millions of dollars to go to Saudi Arabia.
Is he still around? You got to be kidding me.
He shows up every once in a while. He probably headline WrestleMania next year.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They love him.
Oh man.
Last I saw, his son got attacked by somebody, and I haven't seen him since.
I think that's wicked Bobby random. Lashley. Speaking of stipulations, when we do that episode, you already know what my favorite one is that involves somebody's son.
Oh yeah.
We'll talk about that though on that episode. All right, what do you got for your George Washington?
WrestleMania 25. Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker.
Oh, man.
Oh, you like overselling. That's what you like.
You know what? The best
seller in the game.
That was tastefully sold. That was not oversold like when he fought Hollywood Hogan.
You know, my boy Sean gets whipped into the freaking corner. He's got to do that little flip, you know? He's not that
run down the apron.
Come on.
Where's he going?
Your number one guy of all time is Ric Flair, the guy that does the old man flop.
That's the best move.
These two guys, you know, two of the greats of all time, put on what many people think is the best match of all time. You got great chemistry together. You got Shawn Michaels kicking out of choke slams, last rides, tombstones. You got The Undertaker diving over the top ropes and killing a cameraman.
Who was, I forget who it was.
I want to say it was Fake Me Out Roman Reigns, but I know it's not.
No, but I feel like it was one of the popular families of wrestling, like the Fatus or somebody. I forget.
Yeah, probably. That's what it looked like to me. It looked like you didn't really see the guy, but he was just laying down face first for a while.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't a legit cameraman. He was definitely a wrestler who just took a bump, basically.
And basically, the Undertaker probably should have snapped his neck on that one, but somehow he didn't.
Yeah, because exactly the spotting wasn't correct. So when he dove, like, yeah, that should have been an injury big time, and somehow he avoided it.
Yep, and then Shawn Michaels did a moonsault off the corner to the outside of the ring, and Undertaker just kind of shoved him out of the way, and he had a hard bump there, too.
Those guys don't like each other.
Nah, they like each other now.
They have a big-time rivalry.
You think they liked each other at the time of WrestleMania 25, though?
Nah, because Taker couldn't beat Michaels before this match.
That's right. They had a bunch of matches, and yeah, he was winless against him.
Yep. It was heaven versus hell. That's what they hyped this match up to be.
Bad Blood almost made my Rushmore.
Which one's that? Is that the Hell in a Cell?
Yep. The first Hell in a Cell match. Bad Blood, 1997, I believe.
That was a good one, too. That's when Kane showed up, right?
Yep. He ripped the door off the cell.
Yeah, I remember young Mike worried, crying, saying, "Who is this guy?"
Oh. What? When was I crying about it?
Put a blanket over your head. You were like, "Oh no."
Yeah, right.
You're like, "It's Kane."
It was scary with all that fire.
You want to know how brilliant the WWE is? The Undertaker's original name was Kane. He was Kane the Undertaker for, like, I don't know, a couple matches or whatever. And then they dropped it. It's like, it's just the Undertaker. So then, 7 years later, he has a brother who's named Kane. So both of these guys are named Kane.
Yeah, why not? And then the Undertaker lit the house on fire and killed his parents.
And then Kane destroyed their tombstones with a sledgehammer. What an evil bastard. What else could you say about this match before we move on to Paul's picks?
I don't know. I just like the whole match was smooth. It went, you know, back and forth action the whole time. Two of my favorite wrestlers, so I had to put it down. And Undertaker wins, obviously.
Yes.
At WrestleMania, until we all know what happened after that.
Yeah, not a fan.
That's him. I have Mount Rushmore.
Paul can already attest to it.
It's all for my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar destroying the streak.
Oh, that's awful.
It's all four matches.
This match was good, too, but the next year they had a match that was almost just as good, too. Streak versus Korea.
Yeah, in WrestleMania 26, that's the one I was considering.
Yeah, so they just...
Yeah, but by then, he kind of was older.
Yeah,
I was like, they could still work in that first match. The second one, you knew that he was not going to win. After that match, you put it all on the line.
Yeah, Paul's making a good point about that, though. That's kind of why it didn't make, like, my number four spot or anything. Because even though it was a good match, it didn't feel the same as that WrestleMania 25 match.
Yeah, because they were going back and forth.
You didn't know if the streak was going to end or not.
Back and forth on that one. And even when you thought Undertaker was going to lose, he still kicked out of a bunch of things. Kicks after super kicks out of everywhere.
I kind of like that element, though. Anybody else did that, I'd be mad, but I kind of like that. Because if, say, DDP hits the diamond cutter on somebody and they kick out of it, I'm not happy. I got my arms crossed with a frown. But
nowadays, every match is like that. They're kicking out of everyone's finishes nowadays.
See, that's no bueno.
But this match, it worked. Because, you know.
Yes.
Legends in the ring. That's one thing.
Yeah, we didn't have Austin Theory versus Drew McIntyre like today.
Exactly.
Oh, Paul, you were live at War Games, weren't you?
Oh, I wish I was.
Because it was in Boston, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had to work that night, so I couldn't go.
Oh, man.
And I don't know how much you could see in that cage. from the outside.
That's the one drawback I've always had to these cage matches. And that's the one thing I liked better about the blue bars.
Yeah, you can see more in the ring than inside the cage than you can on the...
Yeah, exactly, with the chain link.
Yeah.
But they're doing better camera work since...
Yeah, like so you're basically looking on screen anyway the whole match, even if you're there or not.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
You're going to go buy tickets to go watch it on a big TV. Or sit at home for $5.99 and watch it on Peacock.
That's right. It's the best thing they did.
Yeah, it really is.
It's about the night. It's about the atmosphere, though. You could be like, man, I was there when I don't even know who's on the roster now. Sami Zayn did something.
Oh,
but
we don't talk about. He's
feeling oozy.
Yeah, he's a little oozy now.
Yep.
After that low post of Kevin Owens the other night, I just don't know anymore.
Kevin Owens with the Dusty Rhodes gear for War Games, baby.
Kevin Owens is like the only guy in wrestling I know now. Like,
he's still like good.
Maybe. I don't follow it anymore.
You got his ass good now.
They just, it doesn't do it for me.
Triple H is running that.
See, if Triple H still wrestled, maybe I'd be watching.
Well, he's running it. He's making it.
Well, yeah, I know, better. Because he's like hurt. I don't even think he can take bumps anymore. That's how like injured he is.
Where it is The Rock will be back
to fight. Yeah, Roman. Oh, he'll definitely be back. His daughter's in NXT.
No, The Rock is going to be the president, so he has to start campaigning.
He'll start with like promos on Duck Rock.
I forgot who said they'd vote for him. It made me giggle a little bit because it wasn't somebody I expected. Shit, I'll have to No. Damn, who was it? Oh. I think it might have actually been The Undertaker. The Undertaker said he'd vote for The Rock if he ran for president.
Why not?
Because The Undertaker's a hardcore Republican. But yeah, I guess it doesn't matter, though, because boys are boys. So it's like, hell yeah, I'll vote for my friend over, you know, party or whatever. Unless The Rock runs as a Republican.
He ain't voting for DeSantis.
He's going independent.
Yeah, that's exact. That's probably what he'll run on the independent ticket. All right, Paul. We've deviated long enough, even though we like tangents here on the PNR podcast. So what do you got? Oh yes, well exactly. We'll have plenty of deviation. So what do you got for number four? Who's your number four?
Steamboat versus Savage.
Yes. Excellent choice.
Very technical, one of the earliest technical matches they had. Both strong workers. They really put on a show for that match.
I was going to add, both probably like coming into like being like solid, like reliable guys, because they were early on in their not like super early, like they weren't green or anything, but that's pretty early on in their careers, but they were kind of making a name for themselves at that point of how well they worked.
Yeah, a lot of close calls on this, a lot of outside work, a lot of coming off the top rope, a lot of action. They weren't the main event for that WrestleMania, but they did put on quite the show.
I would argue that was actually the best match during that WrestleMania, because even though that whole thing with Hogan and Andre, that was pretty damn important to wrestling. That might not be really a better match, though, than what Savage and Steamboat did. So,
yeah, no, it was that was one of the most exciting matches of the card.
Oh, yes.
That's really all I got to say about that one. Other than that, multiple close pins, it was a bomb burn of a match. It was a slobber knocker.
Slobber knocker.
They went back and forth. There was a lot of close calls. These guys really put a show on for that WrestleMania 3 crowd. Two legends, Ricky Steamboat and Savage. Savage, they could really wrestle.
Who was the winner of that?
It was Steamboat, wasn't it?
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, Steamboat in a close one.
Now, what was the crowd at the Silver Dome? Because that's it was held at Pontiac Silver Dome. What do you did you get the crowd number?
I did not get the crowd number.
Oh what? Man, it's like 95,000 or something like that. But
okay, that sounds good to me. Probably.
You should have just picked Thunderdome matches.
Yeah, you worry about the crowd size. It was all NXT wrestlers. They stood around the ring.
What do you got for your number three?
I had the same one as Helmet. One of them, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold.
Mount
Rushmore. Another technical masterpiece. Two guys wrestling out.
I'm kind of. Go ahead.
They really showed out and really changed careers with the two of them. Another back and forth one.
I gotta say, I'm kind of jealous after both of you guys picked that match that I didn't put it on my list.
Well, Hart was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up anyway. That was one of it. Him and Stone Cold really went at it in that match. So I had to have that Hart match.
It was the sunglasses, Paul. You can admit it.
Yep.
Anything else that you could say about that?
That was all I really could say on that match. We kind of really covered that as far True. As.
But I mean, you might have had your own other takes on it, though.
Well, the importance of that match and basically how it skyrocketed both of them. It's really turned Bret Hart into a heel and Stone Cold into almost a heel face.
Yep, Bret screwed Bret.
Now, because like you said, Bret Hart's one of your favorites. I believe he was number four on your Rushmore.
Yep.
Did you want Bret Hart to win that match?
I did. That was like...
that was probably the last one that you wanted him to win, I imagine.
No way.
Even after all the Team Canada and all that shit?
I love the heel work. I love the Canada, US socks. I'm all for that. I love a good heel. Him, Pillman, all those guys.
I wanted Stone Cold to win that. I was a big Stone Cold guy when that feud was going on.
I never was the biggest Stone Cold guy. At a time, I was always the opposite. I was like DX. I was always... Hart, DX. I was always around Stone Cold. Did he make wrestling exciting? Of course, but
you never.
I didn't have a Stone Cold 316 T-shirt. That's for sure.
I love Stone Cold. Helmet can attest to that. And did you ever? This is not related to. This is related to Bret Hart, but not the match or anything like that. Did you ever see that picture where he's showing his Starbucks cup? You know, they love to write the names on the cup or whatever. Did you see what they wrote on his cup?
I did.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bread or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Panda boys and panda girls. They wrote bread on his cup.
Well, he has that Canadian accent.
And they spelled bread wrong. B-R-E-D.
Well, I don't know. They might have had bad penmanship for that one.
That reminds me.
Oh, man.
Phil, for this one. That reminds me of when we went to Taco Bell, me and Phil, and they asked for his name, and the girl wrote Phil on the cup, F-I-L.
That did not happen.
True story.
That did not happen. Why would they write his name on the cup?
When they call out your name for your order or whatever, they go by the cup name, and that's how she spelled it, F-I-L.
I wouldn't guess that in a million years. No matter who Who walks up and says, Phil, I'm writing P-H-I-L. I'm not writing F-I-L. I'm not writing P-H-I-L-L. Like, it's going to be P-H-I-L. Oh, shout out to the other Phil that will be listening to this. I'll just, because I have two electrician friends who are named Phil, and they both listen to the PNR podcast. So, shout out to both Phils.
Both Alex Wright fans.
I don't think the other one is. And one's the better electrician, though, because he went to Worcester Voc and not Voc Tech. So there you go.
An electrician podcast.
Yeah, I should do some sort of electrician episode someday. I don't really know what I'd talk about, though. I would talk about when I did the night class, and they're like, hey, wire this the ceiling fan, and it had 5 hots, so I'm like, I fucking quit.
Yeah, you could talk about that time we went to, I think it was Bain's Electric, and you told the guy behind the counter.
I know all about the AWGs. That guy lost his mind. He wanted to like give me the bums rush out of the store. Like, what are you getting so fucking heated about? You just sell wires and stuff. Like, why are you being like insane about me saying something like that? Getting all red in the face and being pissed off at me. It was weird. Oh, I've lived a colorful life. Who do you got on your second match?
That was my second match.
I thought that was your third.
Oh, I see what you said there. Oh, I have Triple H versus The Rock. Ladder match, SummerSlam, 1998.
Oh, I don't even remember that match.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch this.
I remember that.
I don't. I just don't remember it. Was it for a championship belt? Had to be.
Intercontinental.
Those are perfect for ladder matches, apparently.
That was a real one, not that Razor Ramon crap.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Razor Ramon is the best wrestler ever.
He's not, though.
He is, though.
No, he's not.
Why? Because he's only won, like, his like highest championship besides NWA was, like, a U.S. title belt, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He couldn't even go on a run. Nobody would even like him. He has a decent persona, but nothing that headlines.
He has one of the best finishers. He had cool ring attire. Like what's not to like about the guy? The only reason
that was
why
at
he
Madison Square Garden, New York City.
How many fans?
Attendance was 21,000.
That seems like awfully high. Because it seems like every other time they did it at MSG was like 18.
Well, this had Stone Cold and The Undertaker was the main event.
So they were fighting for the heavyweight belt?
Yep. And
so
Triple
H
and The Rock.
Who won between Triple H and The Rock?
Triple H. Why would I do a Triple H losing match?
Because it could have been an impressive match or interference.
No way. It was an impressive win with China giving a low blow, helping him retain that title.
To win the match. I like it.
It was a slugfest, that's for sure.
Did the sledgehammer make an appearance?
Yes, it did.
No, that was a different time when they joined the corporation. I feel like China betrayed Triple H in the match, and it was really just a swerve. So this isn't that same time, I guess, then.
It was a classic, that's for sure.
I just can't even remember this, though.
It was a great wrestle match. And between the two of them, you didn't know who was going to win it during this whole match.
So it didn't look predictable at all.
We're going up. With Triple H and the DX and The Rock and the Nation.
Oh, this is how far back this goes.
Oh, yeah.
This is 98.
So no Nation members interfered, though?
Mark Henry.
Mark Henry is
helped
no,
out during this match.
Mark Henry is no match for China.
No, that was the last laugh was China got in there. It was kind of one of those matches. back and forth. China got the low blow at the end there.
I got to go watch this now. I'm very intrigued. Even though I'm going to know the ending, I still want to see just how it all unfolds.
It was a great match.
Any fighting in the crowd or anything like that?
I don't remember if they took it to the crowd.
But there was definitely it was definitely a hardcore match besides that, though, because you said like the sledgehammer got involved and all that. Well, sometimes ladder matches feel have a straight up feel to them. Like the certainly that one with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, and I didn't see the Bret Hart one, and I bet that was pretty straight up too, though.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, they didn't go into the crowd that much.
I like when the hardcore matches do that sort of thing, but I guess with the championship they just wanted to keep the focus on that. So.
Yeah. No. Exactly. They would. I don't think they took it to the outside too much. It was just mostly in the ring, some interference, some back and forth. It was an unbelievable match.
Well, yeah. If it made your number two, like I said, I got to see this match now, though.
That and I think it made my number two more of like the timing of it was basically I was big Triple H fan at the time and. Back and forth, big win. So you have to go back and watch that.
So is it sort of like what we talked about with some of the other wrestlers? Like, was this when Triple H was kind of coming into his own on it, you think? Or
yes, they were both coming up. They basically kind of kept The Rock ended up joining the corporation going faster. Joining faster, and I think Triple H ended up getting an injury or something, but at the time, but this was kind of cemented him in the same category as Triple H, The Rock, Stone Cold type thing.
I kind of feel like The Rock, he got his start earlier. Like, I feel like as early as Rocky Maivia, he already had an IC belt, and then of course, we all remember he had that feud with Stone Cold over the IC belt where. Stone Cold threw it into like the Alabama River or something like that.
Yeah, but
no one liked him, and they still put a strap on him. It was weird. Like, there was nothing great about like before he became The Rock. There was nothing great about him. Yet it's like they gave him a huge push. That was probably the worst push ever.
Well, that's because he was. What was it? Second, third generation, or whatever. The first one, so you know.
I don't know. I get it. It's like it, you know, his family worked with Vince Senior, so it's like I understand, like you know, the lineage or whatever. But there was nothing great about that version of The Rock, though. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why they gave him a push. I understand why they gave the second iteration of The Rock a push, because he was awesome, good on the mic, fun villain.
A lot of the lineage.
I don't know. Just like I said, if that's the only reason they put the strap on him, that was stupid. But I didn't understand that push back then. I kind of understand it now, but still, I don't. I think it was just a bad push, but. You know, his career turned out fine, though, and I liked his other championship reigns for the most part, so. Because I either like to root against them or I like them in general, so. All right, what do you got for your number one? Who's your George Washington?
Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker.
Oh, man.
Oh, you weren't kidding about that.
We're going right to WrestleMania, baby.
Depressing.
The streak is broken.
Yes. Very depressing.
Depressing. It was everything. Everything for Lesnar.
All right. Why do you like this match so much? Let's talk about it.
Because it had everything you needed. It was a shock surprise.
Yeah.
Nobody was ever playing this. They went and had Lesnar, after all those matches, like you said, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, Undertaker versus Triple H, Undertaker versus this. They had so many matches at WrestleMania, and then they had one guy to bust the the man, the myth, the legend, Brock Lesnar.
Why do you like Lesnar so much? I feel like as a wrestling fan, he betrays wrestling fans. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to do this one match, and I'm going to go fight MMA for another year or two, and then you'll see me again. And he jumps back and forth between the things, and it bothers me. It's not like Ken Shamrock, where Ken Shamrock actually spent a good amount of time before he went back to MMA. Like,
because he's a smart businessman. And that was, WrestleMania 30, I believe.
You're correct. Happened at the Superdome in New Orleans. I don't know the attendance for that, though, but
I'm sure it was pretty high.
Oh, yeah. You could fit a ton of people in there. It's a football stadium, so.
It wasn't a peep in the crowd. Everyone was just stunned.
You could hear a pin drop.
You got memes from the crowd reaction.
It was exactly. It's talked about to this day. Better than the Hogan Andre slam.
No way. That's like one of the most important moments in wrestling.
So was the streak getting defeated.
Well, too. Yeah, but I don't put it ahead of Hulk and Andre, though. Never. But yeah, that was a pretty, as much as I hate the result, that was a good match, though. And that was a pretty important moment, though. I'm not going to take that away from it. As much as I don't like what happened, it is an important moment. You're right about that.
Undertaker, he basically was concussed the whole match.
I didn't know that.
He was talking about, I think, one of his pods. He started, all of a sudden, he started going around and doing all these podcasts and shows, and basically he started talking about it. How he basically, once he doesn't remember half the match, I think.
You know what's strange about The Undertaker doing all this stuff is he was one of those guys, like, he kind of had an old school approach to his whole persona or whatever. Like, if you saw him out in public, you didn't see Mark Calloway. You saw the dead man. And all media appearances, all that sort of stuff, it was always, I'm The Undertaker, whatever. He gets to a point way later in his career, and this is probably around this time, actually, that he's just like, fuck it, I'm not portraying that guy when I do these sort of things. Now you're talking with Mark Calloway. So it's kind of funny that he did that for so long, and then he's just like, nope, I'm going back to being, you know, a normal guy when I'm not in the wrestling ring or whatever, basically, so...
Yeah, no, exactly. Once he retired, he started going around and do all these podcasts and interviews. He talked about all the. I've listened to a bunch of his old stories from back in the day.
Starting in
the business.
You probably heard the same thing as me. Was it on Joe Rogan?
Yeah,
I saw that too. I enjoyed that. I'm trying to get The Undertaker on season 3, but it's not looking too good for me right now.
You're gonna pay him.
I'm not paying him anything.
Well, that's what he does. You have to pay him, probably.
No, he's gonna pay me. I'm the poor guy.
A parents for him. Yeah, but if you could put Undertaker on your podcast, it's better than Paul and Helm.
No way.
More notoriety.
Well, yeah, but still, I like having my best friends on the show. That's why I'm going to try to have you guys on a couple episodes next season. Like, that's how I do things. But, yeah, I talked to Dana Carvey, not interested. Who else did I approach? I think Adam Sandler, not interested. Well, they didn't get back to me. That's how I can gauge their their level of interest in doing it.
Don't you have to go to, like, their publicist or something, or?
I was hoping that's who runs their Twitters, but, cause that's how I'm contacting them.
Basically. So you can get Elon Musk on.
I would love to have him on. Right. I would also love to have Jay Leno on. I've been approaching these comedians lately, trying to get them on.
Better wait a couple months.
Oh, because of what happened? I think he's recovered from that.
Oh, okay, good.
When I saw the headline at first, though, I thought it was going to be like the worst thing ever.
Yeah, but, you did.
Yeah, I totally did. But I'm glad it didn't turn out that way. But yeah, so I'm trying to get these comedians and it's not working well. So Louis C.K., that's another one that comes to mind that I contacted. No response. So
emotions and tissues.
We're not going to discuss. We weren't going to discuss that part of his life. We're going to discuss. Plant. No, that was Weinstein that did the plants.
Oh, he was just in the office.
Yeah, I don't remember the specifics with Louis C.K., but it wasn't that bizarre. I only knew it was bizarre, but it wasn't that bizarre. But we, like I said, we weren't going to talk about that sort of stuff. So, yeah, like I said, though, long story short, contacting the comedians, it's not going well, bud. We'll see who comes on season 3. I'm not going to give up. Because what's the worst thing you say? Oh, no, Mike Proud, I'm not going on. Oh, okay. Like that's the worst they can do to me, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have anything else to say about this match before we move on?
No, basically, back and forth, nobody thought that was going to happen. You ended up shocking everybody, and that was a big moment in WWE. Everybody looked forward for how many years of that streak. And Lesnar's the man, like I say, even though you think that because he goes back and forth, but he's a smart businessman. He builds his name on one way and goes to the other, goes to WWE back and forth. When he shows up, he wrecks hell, and, you know, I loved when he was in the Royal Rumble and he eliminated like 15 straight guys. It was like the best.
Yeah, that was
pretty impressive. That was the greatest. I think it was 20 guys he eliminated. It was something insane.
Not my favorite Rumble, but that was a good Rumble.
I was like, all right. When he wants to wrestle, he really does. He puts on a show.
I'm going to cover my favorite Rumble, but I'm going to give an honorable mention Rumble. When Stone Cold cheated and won the Royal Rumble. That was my second favorite Rumble victory.
I'm going to have to rewatch that because I don't remember.
You don't remember that one?
No, I remember the Rumble.
But gets back in.
Eliminating everyone and sitting around for like 5 minutes waiting for people.
The one with Stone Cold was the real winner is actually Bret Hart. But Stone Cold was declared the winner at least because, like I said, he cheated and that's how he's able to win it. But that the actual winner for that is Bret Hart. Like if Stone Cold didn't cheat, Bret Hart would have won that one. And then of course is that Shawn Michaels one. That's pretty good too, with a where he didn't touch with both feet, so he's able to stay in it. A lot of good Royal Rumbles. Well, that's my favorite pay-per-view. But
oh, Hart and Luger, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was another good one too. A lot of good Royal Rumbles.
With Yoko. Ooh, that would have been a good one. I didn't even think of that one.
Okay, so we gotta pay some bills around here. So we're gonna do a mid-roll ad, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. All right, we are back, and my fourth match is The Undertaker versus Mankind, King of the Ring 1998, took place at the Igloo, 17,087 fans, and the stipulation was Hell in a Cell. So why I like this match, I mean, it was so brief, like the actual wrestling portion of the match, but it was... it's kind of goes back to what Paul's pick was and just the shock of it, really. Because, I mean, you knew hardcore stuff would happen or whatever, but it really, Mick Foley and Terry Funk, like the, because they orchestrated this match, it really pushed the boundaries of like, I mean, you know, during the Attitude Era, all sorts of crazy stuff happened, but this was just particularly crazy to me. So early in the match, Mankind goes to the top of the cell, Undertaker follows him or whatever. He takes him, he throws him off the top of the cell, so it's like a 20-foot drop through the Spanish announce table. And this was like a legitimate bump. Like, I guess he got concussed and he was like, he had some broken ribs or whatever. So it took so long to like get him on like a stretcher, and they stretched him out. And then when he gets to the ramp, he stops them because he's like, okay, I'm gonna continue or whatever. But so that's the only really like drawback to this match, is they spent so much time just like with playing up the injury or whatever. And, you know, maybe he needed it, because if he didn't have that recovery time, it's like, oh, is he going to still, you know, keep going then? So he probably just needed that time just to like recover from the bump, basically. But that's really the only drawback to this match, is early on in it, after he gets thrown off the cell, he takes so long. But he comes back, of course, like midway through this match, though. And then they go back to the roof again. Mankind gets choke slammed through the roof. So then again, he takes like a really serious bump, and he's just lying there, and they think he's like dead again, basically. So they, you know, again, a little bit more recovery time, a lot less than the one before with the paramedics coming out and all that, but still, like, he needed a little bit of time. And then Mankind gets like a third wind at this point. And so at the end of the match, he's spreaded thumbtacks, and now both of these guys are going through thumbtacks while finishers are being performed. So Mankind gets his finisher on first with the mandible claw, but then Undertaker does tombstones and choke slams into the thumbtacks. So it was wild as hell.
Like, that was a great match.
And you really don't see that sort of stuff unless you watch like Japanese hardcore matches. So the thumbtacks were really just a nice touch, because, like I said, you don't see that. Like, not even New Jack was wheeling out the thumbtacks to the ring. So, of course, he had, like, the fucking staple gun and all that other crazy shit, though. he was the guy who killed Mass Transit, right? Was that New Jack?
New Jack was multiple near homicides and wrestling.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he has a bunch of YouTube videos. If you watch him, he has some Florida guy that he stabs up. Mass Transit he stabbed up.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's a nutcase.
Yeah, he was a wild one.
He goes, the guy just started hitting me hard, and I just, you know what? Just stabbed him.
Jeez. I mean, this guy. Yeah. I wouldn't have worked stiff with New Jack if I were a wrestler. No. I would have just let him beat me up a little bit, take the loss. All right, my number three match. We got, for your grapplers, we got Ric Flair versus The Fiend. So, of course, I'm talking about Royal Rumble 1992 at the Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York. Crowd of 17,000. Like I said earlier, Royal Rumble's my favorite event. Every year. I know WrestleMania is like the bigger show or whatever. And I think there's a crowd out there that likes the Survivor Series better or whatever. That's not me. Royal Rumble's my favorite, always has been. That's one match, even though I don't like new wrestling anymore, that's one match where I would actually pay money to like go see it live or watch it on TV or whatever the case is. Because like I said, it's my favorite event, so... This one sticks out a little more than those other ones I mentioned, too, because it featured a lot of my favorite wrestlers as a kid, like Hulk Hogan's in it, The Undertaker, who eliminated himself out of that one, and then Jake Roberts, and, of course, Ric Flair's in it, even though Phil hates Ric Flair. Ric Flair was one of my favorites back in the day. So just like a lot of the guys I liked are in that Royal Rumble, so... It's also the most impressive Royal Rumble win to me because it's not like he did what Lesnar did, where Lesnar like eliminated like half the field or whatever. But, you know, even though he only had five eliminations, he lasted an hour, which is like longer than anybody. So that's why that's the most impressive win to me, because I don't think anybody else has gone an hour. Maybe somebody has, and I'm just not even remembering it. But
you do most of it on the outside of the ring.
No, I don't think so. I think he was in the ring for most of it. And I know that's like a Ric Flair move, would to be like go under the low rope or whatever, and you know, old man flop basically. But but I think for the most part he was in the ring. He was in a turnbuckle licking his wounds, but he was in the ring. So that's yeah, that sticks out even more than Shawn Michaels. Like you think, oh, Michaels just got eliminated by Bulldog. This is a hell of a finish. But you know, like you said, he only was on the 1 foot or whatever. So that's even more impressive to me after that. And I like, because they don't do this in any other Royal Rumble. They awarded him the belt after, because the belt was, I think Hulk Hogan had to turn it in to Jack Tunney for God knows what the reason is right now. But they did have to relinquish the belt, though. The title was vacant. And the winner of the Royal Rumble was going to get the belt, and Ric Flair won it. So he got the belt. I thought that was a very cool thing to do. Oh, I also got to mention, too, that even though Michaels won that Royal Rumble as the first entrant, this was the first time somebody as low as Flair. Flair was three when he went in. So I thought that like there's a lot of good things and a lot of firsts, it feels like, to this Royal Rumble. So I wish that was actually kind of how they did it now, but they'll never do it this way again because they want that build up to WrestleMania. So that was probably like the last time that they're just going to, you know, give the belt to the winner, basically. So that was a unique twist for that particular Royal Rumble.
I think Hogan was filming Suburban Commando. That's why I had to give up the title.
Guess who else is in that movie?
Undertaker.
Yeah, he's right. Undertaker's in that movie. He has a really bit part, though. He's like a thug or something like that. But
he's one of the
they don't even do
bounty hunters.
Oh, he was one of the bounty hunters in it. I thought he was just like a random thug.
He's one of the bounty hunters.
Yeah, he's cool.
Gonna get you, Ramsay.
He was looking for the space parts.
I gotta watch that movie again. It's been too long.
Oh, it's definitely a greatest movie.
Is it on Netflix?
Somewhere.
I think Ebert gave it -4 stars.
No way.
That's in Paul's Rushmore. That's in Chaperone.
I enjoyed Chaperone. I'm not going to lie. That's my guilty little pleasure. Chaperone was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah, it's because it had one of the greatest wrestlers in it ever.
Yeah, the third best wrestler ever.
Very close.
My second match, TLC, like Helmet had earlier, Hardy Boys versus Edge and Christian versus Dudley Boys. That was at WrestleMania X7. I hate when they do stupid little stuff like that. The Astrodome was where it took place, Houston, Texas. An attendance of 67,925. That's a pretty impressive crowd. Why this is my favorite, two of my favorite tag teams featured. And of course, I had already mentioned earlier the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian. And I didn't have any really hatred against the Hardy Boys either. They're not my Rushmore tag teams, but still guys I like to watch perform for sure. But no outsiders, unfortunately. They were already in WCW at that time, but it is what it is. And I like this because hardcore match. I love hardcore wrestling. And it was for the belts, too. So it had a lot of my favorite hardcore elements, like the ladders. And, you know, like basically the TLC is pretty much my favorite. I wish the kendo stick could have made an appearance. But Sandman wasn't in WWE at the time. Or did he ever? I don't think he ever joined WWE. I think he joined WCW when he was
ECW version.
Yeah, well, yeah, he came to WWE via that, but I don't think he was ever like on a Raw SmackDown roster, was he? I don't think so.
Probably not, because it was pretty terrible when he came to WWE anyway, because he fought like the zombie and.
Do you know the story behind the zombie?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Paul, do you know it?
That he was a zombie?
Well, do you know the story behind why he existed?
It had to do with, what's his name that fell through the wall, Shockmaster?
No.
The same writer?
Shock. It's not a wrestling episode unless we mention the Shockmaster at least once.
Oh, yeah, about the Yeti.
Oh, the Yeti. The zombie was contractually, he existed for that one match because Sci-Fi said they wanted a zombie for like the opening, like the debut match, or they weren't going to put it on TV. So they had to have the zombie come out and like lose like a match like instantly. And then zombie is way back to the wrestling, the locker room rather.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he just got hit with a kendo stick like 10 times, and that was the match.
Yeah. Now, what a waste of time. All because Sci-Fi Network wanted that. RoboCop wasn't played by Peter Weller at the live event, and a part of his armor fell off because RoboCop shouldn't be moving like that. RoboCop's he's a stiff worker, so to speak, RoboCop, so... Yeah, not the...
What did he even do? Did he, like, break open a cage or something?
He was in the cage, and he was Sting's tag team partner. Like, I don't even remember who Sting was fighting. But, yeah, he was Sting's partner at, like, Super Bowl.
The guys of darkness or whatever they were. Yeah, in the cage.
No, it was the Ding Dongs.
Probably the Dungeon of Doom or whatever.
Did they exist back then? They must.
That's exactly what it was, I think.
Wrestling Bios probably has a video on this, or maybe Wrestling with Regret. Somebody has a video on why RoboCop was there. I gotta dig it up. Oh, don't forget about the Black Scorpion or whatever. Do you remember that little WCW experiment?
No.
I remember watching there was like a cage match with the Black Scorpion, and it ended up being Ric Flair.
Yes!
Talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he knows.
First, like, wrestling memories that I can remember.
He had, that was Sting's mysterious enemy from the past. It turned out to be Ric Flair. Oh, wrestling cracks me up. Oh, I still got to talk about the TLC match. The last thing I wanted to say was something that Helmut already covered, but I'll just repeat it or whatever. There was just a lot of insane spots. Like when Jeff Hardy swanton bomb off the tallest ladder, which really wasn't, but I'll pretend it is because it makes it that much better. And Edge was hanging onto the belts over the middle of the ring. Jeff Hardy was rather. So Jeff Hardy's hanging on to the straps. The ladder drops from below him. He can't remove the belts or whatever because he doesn't have, you know, the strong footing to do so. So Edge sees opportunity to do his finisher, and yeah, spears him right flat onto the canvas to 12 feet below. And he lied there for a while after. I'm surprised neither one of those guys didn't get a serious injury from like that. Like, not even so much Jeff Hardy, because landing on your back from that height is not good, but just like Edge could have landed just like a wrong way or whatever, and then that would have been a broken neck. So yeah, a lot of insane spots through that. I wish they just would have had flaming tables, but I guess that's an ECW signature. I don't know if the WWE or F has ever done that. So that was my number two. And my George Washington now is, again, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25, Reliance Stadium, again in Houston. I guess Houston's the best places to hold matches or whatever. And the attendance was 72,744. And I feel like this is the most perfect wrestling match ever. And there may be something that I'm not remembering or I haven't saw. You guys came up with a lot of good examples. Like, thinking back to what Paul said about WrestleMania 3 with Steamboat and Savage. I mean, I wish I would have gave that more consideration, because that's one of the more perfect matches you'll ever see, too. But arguably, the best WrestleMania headliners are these guys, because, you know, everybody wanted to see where the streak was going to go with The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels had a lot of good WrestleMania appearances. I guess the only other guy you could argue harder for is Hulk Hogan. But even after WrestleMania 9, that kind of tarnished the whole WrestleMania mystique surrounding him, at least, where, you know, Yoko didn't want to drop the belt to Bret Hart, but then he drops it to Hulk Hogan later. And that's just, we're all supposed to, you know, feel good now that that happened or whatever. No, that didn't make things interesting. It made things almost predictable or whatever. But so, yeah, though, arguably the best WrestleMania headliners, arguably. The match was a perfect amount of time, too. It was about 30 minutes. The intros maybe made it go a little bit longer. Not an extensive outro. But so, yeah, 30 minutes, though. You don't want to really have a match that goes longer than that. I don't think it might get boring or stale or whatever. So unless it's like the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble can go longer than 30 minutes, and I love it. But anything else, not so much.
What about the Iron Man match?
I didn't like the Iron Man match. WrestleMania 12? Sounds right. Yeah, with Michaels and... yeah, I didn't really care for that. I mean, I watched it when it happened, and I watched it since then. But I don't go out of my way to watch that match. And I don't really, like I said, I don't really care for Iron Man matches, because there was also, I feel like Kurt Angle and, what, John Cena had an Iron Man match? that sounds about right.
I want to say Shawn Michaels had another one, too, but I can't remember.
He had two of them?
I thought so. Maybe not. Maybe I dreamt it.
You know where Iron Man match is good? Is if you're playing No Mercy and you have an Iron Man match. But that's it.
Yeah.
Like, any other way, I don't really care for the Iron Man matches. Like I said, I think 30 minutes is like a perfect length for a match. Like, no matter what the match is besides Royal Rumble. So a Battle Royale is like fine for
Brock
longer than 30.
Kurt Angle's at Iron Man match.
Oh, they had one?
Triple H versus The Rock.
I don't remember so many Iron Man matches.
Chris Benoit versus Triple H. Looks like Triple H is in a lot of these Iron Man matches.
This is, watch out, Tony Stark. Hunter Hearst Helmsley is the real Iron Man.
John Cena versus Orton.
Oh, it's Cena versus Orton. I thought it was Cena versus Angle.
Kurt
I feel like
Angle
Angle's been
Michaels.
In it. Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like Angle's been in a ton of them too.
Yeah.
That's an
Angle
odd amount
Michaels,
of Iron
Man. Yet Angle versus.
Yeah, I knew
Chris
Michaels.
Benoit. Oh, Chris Benoit versus Triple H in one.
I don't remember a lot of these.
Triple H versus The Rock. Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle. So Triple H and Kurt Angle tied. For top dogs.
I still got Triple H as my Iron Man.
Smart man.
I wasn't big on Kurt Angle. Although I did appreciate that King of the Ring where he had that hardcore match with Shane. That was pretty insane when he angle slammed him through the thing that wasn't supposed to break.
You gotta love that.
But yeah, getting back to this match though, the pacing was really good. There was volleys of like fast and good exchanges or whatever, but then it slowed down here and there when it felt like it was appropriate, because you know sometimes you gotta slow it down and do submissions and stuff like that. Or sometimes you have to sell. Well, I don't know if Undertaker was selling injury on the outside, but sometimes you get to sell stuff like that too, though. So it was like, it was never boring, I should say. It was never boring. Like I said, the pace was good. The action was good. I would never be like, this is boring or anything like that during this match. Certainly not. And The last third of the match was very exciting because, like was mentioned before, there was several finishers exchanged, and it was always a kick out at two, and it had everybody on the edge of their seats like, oh, you know, which one is going to be the one where they don't kick out of it? So, and the last thing I want to mention is, I think Helmet already mentioned this, is it wasn't predictable. Like, we didn't know who was going to win this match. Like, we all thought, like, there was a really good chance that Shawn Michaels would end up winning this match. Yeah. So it was,
match,
it was, that's another thing that you have to have. That's, you know, in a big match, like, you know, you don't want to know who's going to win it before it happens. So that also met that criteria. It wasn't predictable at all. So, does anybody want to add anything, before we move on to Remember Four Things?
No,
I'm heading out.
Oh, okay. Say bye to the people, Polly.
All right, brother. See you later, everybody.
Take care, Polly.
See you guys later.
You got it.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, we are going to move on to Remember Four Things without Paul. I'm glad he stuck around, though, to, you know, he did his matches and he heard Hellman and ours Rushmore. I mean, my Rushmore, rather. So, do you go to quote?
Sure.
What do you got?
Good quote. Why do it here when I could have a million people watch me rip your head off? WrestleMania 8.
There's a better quote. Something about a bologna sandwich.
Yeah, well, if I could remember the whole thing, I would have done the whole thing. But, you know, that was...
Oh, you want your belt back. Oh, man.
That don't matter. I was hungry.
He was so good on the mic, that guy. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he was.
Not so good in WCW, though. But WWF years, yeah, absolutely. For the quote, this goes... What you got to understand about this when I say this is... I don't remember when this happened, but it got to a point where Stone Cold would make these appearances. And then after every phrase or sentence, the crowd would go, "What? What?" So they were doing this, and Stone Cold actually wasn't even in the ring for this. Ric Flair and Undertaker were in the ring when this quote happened. So they were doing the what thing, though. And then I'm going to do a horrible Undertaker impression, but... Why don't you say what if you like to sleep with your own sister? And then you still had a few sick fucks in the crowd who said what. But that's how much I hated the what quote. So when I came across this quote, I'm like, okay, this is getting used. And this is weird, though, because like I said, it wasn't Stone Cold with The Undertaker. So it would make sense for The Undertaker to say that in the crowd, you know, to be saying what they were saying. Ric Flair was trying to introduce Triple H as the Undisputed Champion. And The Undertaker interrupted him, and they just started doing the what thing. So it didn't make sense to me looking back on that because, like I said, that was Stone Cold's thing.
That's what they do. Even to this day, they still do the what chant when people are talking.
Oh, I hate that. I hated that. So I hated it more than The Rock when he made fun. When he was like, what? 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 And I hated it more than when The Undertaker said that they like to sleep with their sisters. So
I'm gonna
Oh, you can find it on YouTube. It's on there. You can find just put type in like Undertaker what, and I think that would actually it pops up where yep. You'll see Ric Flair and The Undertaker in the ring together, and he says that. So that's the quote I went with, though. Paul reminded me of Seinfeld, even though he hates Seinfeld. I said, that's a great idea, but there wasn't enough time to get a Seinfeld quote.
That'll be for the next time he's on.
Yes, exactly. I'll have to make sure I have it for that time. But I love this quote, though, when I saw it because I hated the what so much. So this was a perfect quote, actually, to pull up. Do you have any shout outs you want to throw out there?
I'll just shout out anyone listening. You for having me on, Paul.
Oh, not a problem.
Rod and Ric Flair.
Ric Flair's a good shout out. I want to thank you. So shout out to you. Thanks for coming on finally.
No problem.
Paul for coming on, even though he had he always has to make an early exit. I don't know what's going on, but I still thank Paul for coming on. So shout out to Paul, even though he's on the Los Locos list still. And then Lethal and Spirit. Lethal was actually supposed to come on tonight, but he's defending our country against aliens, I guess, because he's Space Force. So I guess those bastards from Rigel 7 are going to get what for when we're ready. So shout out to Lethal, though. He will come on and because I said, hey, I think we can do another one of these matches made in heaven part two. So he said he'd be down for that. So sometime season three, look forward to that. All guests, past, present, and future. Also, all the wrestlers who sacrifice their bodies and sometimes their lives, like Scott Hall, my favorite wrestler, that kind of stands out to me. But yeah, you know, sometimes their lives even to entertain me. So, you know, just thank you to all those wrestlers. Whether I was a fan of yours or not, thank you. Because, like I said, you did stuff like this to, you know, entertain me. So I thank you. And do you got any charities you want to plug?
I'll go with ALS.
Good with man. You. Good man. Lou does also the same thing as, I mean, you're a listener, so you know. But whenever Lou comes on, he plugs ALS. So I guess that's... Yeah,
and also shout out, I'll do the Jimmy Fund because that's also cancer research. And so,
oh, yeah, another good one. Yeah. Yeah. Jimmy Fund for sure. If you're a Red Sox fan or you've seen baseball with the Red Sox playing, you're probably familiar with the Jimmy Fund. So shout out to the Jimmy Fund for sure.
Yeah. You don't even have to know baseball. Listen to the radio. You know, they're all over the place.
I don't think they're outside of New England, though. I feel like that's a New England thing.
Yeah, no, it's the Boston, but I'm talking about just in this area.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because it's not just the Red Sox. They do a marathon on EEI, or not a telethon, or is it a telethon if it's on the radio? A radiothon, I guess.
Telethon. They actually used to, at the Seekonk Cinema, or as a Providence Place Mall Cinema, like before, like big movies... Like before the previews, they'd have like a donation thing. They'd have a big video on the Jimmy Fund and stuff. So,
I don't remember that, but I've been to Seekonk. I haven't been to Providence. So
it's Providence Place. This was like 20 years ago, but they would have like a video on the screen, and then they would come out with like a bucket, whatever you can throw money in and stuff.
Do they still have IMAX there?
I don't know. I haven't been there in forever.
Me neither.
I would imagine they do, but you never know.
Well, like I said, I mean, I never even been to that theater, but I haven't like even looked. But like when because I think it's on the same floor as Dave and Buster's. So when I go to Dave and Buster's, I don't even pay attention to the theater. I just go straight to Dave and Buster's. So, so yeah, I will cover ALS though, so you can get the info if you want to donate. It's ALS.org or ALSA.org, which is the ALS Association. And real quick, do you have a good night for anybody?
Anyone listening and my family and you as well.
I thought you were going to say Aaron Rodgers.
No. I know.
He drank the tea and he hasn't been the same since.
Nope. It's Jordan Love's now.
Oh yeah, Jordan Love. What happened there? Did he get benched?
No, he was. Well, he's had a hurt thumb, and apparently he hurt his rib or oblique or something yesterday. So he left like midway through the game.
Yeah, I didn't know. I just remember seeing something about Jordan Love taking over, and it was actually a close game. But it's just not Green Bay's year this year. But no. Okay, I will finish it with a football player, because I always do. So good night, Malcolm Butler, wherever you are.